Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers.
That you're planted and rooted in Jesus this morning. Amen. Come on, one more time, everybody. Let's give God the best praise we can. Just clap and give him an ovation this morning. God bless you. So good to see everybody this morning in church. I'm so thankful this morning to have the opportunity to begin a new ministry series for this month, Planted and Growing. And so I'm very excited to talk about kind of where we're going with this ministry series. Now, I'm very excited about it because I've been praying for several months, and the staff and I have been talking about things like spiritual growth and just how do we know if we're really growing in God. And so this month, these messengers are really going to add so much value to your spiritual life, and I'm so excited about that. And if you've ever wondered what it really means to be planted and to grow in God, then this month, you're going to start to experience that in ways that you can see, and you can know that you're taking steps toward maturity, taking steps toward strength in the Lord. And you're going to hear this phrase spoken over you over and over and over again over the next few weeks. I'm just going to be saying this over your life perpetually. You are becoming more like Christ. Can y'all receive that this morning? You are becoming more like Christ. Come on, everybody say it with me. You ready? Ready? One, two, three. You are becoming more like Christ. I don't know if you received one of these little pamphlets this morning, but everybody should have a little message guide. You can follow along in the points today and kind of write those down. I'm going to be giving one of these out each month in the teaching series this month on Sunday morning. So let's get started today. Just by reviewing that one scripture, that faithful promise that we see for those who are planted and growing in God from Psalm chapter 1. It was in the opening video, and here's what it says. Psalm 1 and 3. This is what it says about you when your roots are buried deep in the Lord. It says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Don't you want that, amen, in our life? Praise God. Let's pray this morning. Father, I love you and thank you so much for your great mercy and grace, for your word this morning. God, I pray that you just help us to receive your word, God, to believe your word, to apply your word to our life, Lord, because we love your word. And God, this morning, I pray for every family that we'll all be transformed and we'll be changed into your likeness, a little closer to you today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Let the church say good amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much to the worship team this morning. You guys did a great job. Aren't we glad about our worship team today? Let's let them know how much we love them and say thanks to our worship ministry and all of the ministries across the campus, every team. And let me say, along with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Kelsey this morning, tonight, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be an awesome time at the Luau for the Dream Team Connect tonight. Make sure that you're here tonight. If you can be here, bring people with you, bring your family with you. Guys, it's going to be a great time. I don't know what I'm going to wear. I don't have one of those Hawaiian looking shirts. But honey, there's got to be something. Fix me up. I don't know. It'll be a good time. But don't give me one of those weird looking little straw skirts. I don't want to wear one of those things, man. Just kidding. It's going to be a great time tonight. Please come, everybody. When your roots are buried deep in the Lord and he is your source, You will be productive and you will prosper. In this series this month, I want us to really learn what it means to be planted and growing so that you can begin to function every day with the natural strength and the provision that comes from being grafted and growing in Jesus. So notice that you have a message guide today. You can follow along in the little points as you write them down. But let's begin this morning by asking a big question. And this essential question is kind of what we'll root our teaching on this morning. It's for everybody. Sometimes you don't know the answer to this. And that big question is simply this: how can I be sure that I'm planted and growing in God? Don't you want to grow, guys? If we want the Lord to take us from step to step, from glory to glory, and mature us and grow us in God. And when you're growing, there should be a natural progression in your spiritual walk. It's a natural function. It's a progression that really manifests in areas of your life, in places like spiritual maturity, the presence of God's power and peace in your life. You should be experiencing and recognizing how your approach to life is changing and being altered by God, because you're going from one stage to another. This question of how can I really know if I'm growing, or am I just practicing my religion every week and doing the best that I can? It's a question that Scripture answers for us. So let's begin by looking and using just a few scriptures to give us the answer to how do we know if we're growing in the Lord. Okay, look with me over in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 22. And here is where we begin to answer this big question. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds. Put off the old self and be made new in the attitudes of your mind. And so right away, there is one initial tell of whether or not you're growing. Does your attitude and your mindset look different than it now that you're a Christian? Everyone should be asking ourselves that this morning. How am I different now that I'm born again? Has Jesus made this amazing and wonderful impact and this dramatic change in my life? Does my attitude look different? Is my mindset different? Or do you have the same attitude that you always had? Your attitude and your mindset and your new way of life should be different than your old way of life. Let me say that just one more time, making sure that we're all getting that. Your attitude and your mindset should be different in your new way of life in Christ than it was back before you met Jesus. We'll unpack that in next week's message a little bit more thoroughly. It's going to be so valuable to you and how you view things and your expectations of God and how you grow into what He wants to do in your life. Let's read on to verse 24. It says this: and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, church, when we're examining this concept of am I really growing? Am I being changed? Or am I just going through the motions every week? Or am I being challenged? And am I being taken from one step to another? We need to see it like this. The Bible says that you're taking off one self, the old self, and putting on the new self. And the new self, according to Ephesians 4:24, the new self, you're meant to be more like the Lord. Praise God. You're meant to be more like Him. This truth goes a step further over in Galatians chapter 3. And these are just a few scriptures to help us lay the foundation for this concept this morning as we learn. 3:26 and 27 just says this: for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Everybody say put on. You've put on Christ. Again, you've put Him on. This is what His sacrifice enables us to do, everybody. We're to be uprooted from our old former self and replanted in the person of Jesus. Now, unfortunately, sometimes people don't realize this. They think that putting on Christ is a little bit like going to the fitting room at the department store. How many of you ever tried on something in the store? You ever done this? I remember when I was little, I hated going into the fitting room. And if I went to buy something new, my mama would make me go in there and try it on. Y'all mamas do that? You got to go in there and try it on. And even now, sometimes I'm stubborn and I don't want to try something on. And so I might take it home without trying it on. And when I get home, I just wish I would have just took the time to try it on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A lot of people don't understand that putting on Christ is not like going to the fitting room and trying him on. So they might try him on, but if he doesn't fit just right, they put him back on the shelf. Are y'all following me this morning? I'm saying this because I want us to see the difference and make sure that we're growing in the Lord. You may try him on, but a lot of people don't like to keep him. They put him back on the shelf. And they're really missing the point. When we put him on, it's not up to Jesus to fit us. It becomes up to us to conform to him. Please get that this morning. Don't put him back on the shelf. Instead, realize that you're growing to fit him. Jesus already did his part, so he's not going to change to suit you or the lifestyle that you want. If you accept him and believe him and he makes the change beginning within your life, it's not up to Jesus to suit you. It's up to you to conform to him. Let's take it just a step further in Romans chapter 8, a scripture that we've all read many times. It just says this, verse 29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You're meant to be conforming to Jesus. You're being conformed to the image of his son. It means that you're being reshaped. Your life is being molded into something that sin previously prevented you from becoming. But now you're involved in a process of shaping. You're involved in a process of being made different. You're conforming. You're changing into the image that you were originally designed to be. In other words, you're becoming like less of you and more of Jesus. Praise God. You're becoming like less of you and more like him. Oh my goodness, we need less of us and more of Jesus. Praise God. So let's answer our big question this morning. Our big question, how do you know if you're really planted and growing in God? And the answer is very simple today. You're growing when you're becoming more like Christ. And that's number one on your message guide, fill in. You're really growing. It's not even a difficult situation. I've been praying about this and analyzing it and talking to people and getting advice and reading commentaries and books for weeks, getting ready for this concept. And it's really this simple, church. You're really growing in God when your life is beginning to look less like you and more like Jesus. You're growing when you're becoming more like Christ. Isn't that simple? It's the simplest concept, but it's such a challenge to us because, man, our flesh does not want to become like Jesus. Come on, am I right about it? Too many people don't want to understand this, and they stay the same for way too long because they think that growing is about doing more or doing something different by way of your own will. But church, hear me. Becoming something different is not the same as personally mastering religion or merely gaining religious skills to make a better decision next time something tempts you. That's not becoming different. You're able to do better, not because you're getting better. Your behavior is changing and being altered, and your decisions are improving, and you're becoming more like Jesus, but just not because you are achieving something. It's because you're becoming less like you and more like him. That's why you're able to do better. You're being changed from the inside out. You're becoming more like Jesus. If you're born again, that should be our goal. Now, there will be people in here and really in every church who aren't interested in this right now. And they're thinking right now, you know what, Pastor Brandon, I really got other things on my mind right now, and I just want to come in here and do my church and go on to lunch and whatever I've got going on for the rest of the day and the rest of the week. But there will be those who understand, who have a desire and a hunger to really grow toward the Lord, to experience Him, and to be used of the Lord at higher levels, and to gain access to more intimate levels with God, who will know and know that, you know what, I've got to become more like Jesus. It's really how I gain access to the deeper things of God. It's how I gain familiarity with the voice of God. It's how I become eligible for God to interact with me, and how I become closer to God. Because guess what, everybody? Your sin and your flesh keep you distant from God. But when you become more like Jesus, God just draws close to you. It's not about doing better. You're becoming more like Christ. In fact, look at this principle. It's number two. Spiritual growth is much more than getting better. It's much more than making personal improvements. Hear me out on this. If you can master the art of being better and getting better on your own, Jesus would not have had to go to the cross and die brutal murder. You could just keep getting better and doing better and making better choices and getting better at doing this religious skill and that religious skill, and Jesus would not have had to go to the cross. You could just arrive one day in your new state of mastery, your new state of righteousness, because you kept on getting better and better. And God could just say to you, hey, congratulations. You're finally good enough to enter my presence. But how many know that's not happening? And since that's not happening for any of us, not me, not you, since that's not happening, then the Bible becomes true. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So I just want to submit this to you right now. You're not getting better, and that's not how you're growing in God. You're growing in God when you're becoming different. When you are being made more like Jesus. So no, spiritual growth is much more than getting better. It's when you can look at your life, look at how you speak, and look at how you think about things, and look at how you treat people, and begin to see more of Jesus in those things than seeing yourself in those things. That's how you know you're growing. Are you becoming more like Him? Number three, check this out. This is something that we all have to understand. Spiritual growth is not an achievement. It's a transformation. You're not going to achieve growth. You're going to be transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus. So it's much more than getting better, but it's also not an achievement at all. It's a transformation in your life. You're being transformed. You're being changed. You're being restored in His image, the image of God in Christ. See, in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image. And in our original state, we were able to interact with God and have fellowship with God and really identify with Him. But sin entered our world. And sin and darkness created the chasm between us and God, and it changed us. It changed people from the inside out, and this is the gospel. And God did everything He could possibly do through generations and generations to help people understand how much He loves them and all that He would do to prove to them that He's there for them and that He loves them and He wanted to redeem them and save them. But time after time, what we did, we allowed ourselves and our darkness and our sin to come between us and God. Until one day the Lord finally put in the next step in His redemptive plan for man. And He said, you know what? I love them so much. All I can do is give my only Son, the one who is not worthy to die because He'll never sin, give Him for these people that I love so that they can believe and be restored back to our original place in God, the image of God. And that's what's happening in your life. You're becoming more like Jesus. He's changing you. He's transforming you from the inside out. He's making a change. I believe the Lord would have me say this to everybody this morning. I want you to get up tomorrow morning with a new way of thinking about who you are in Christ. I want you to get up tomorrow morning and really realize it all day long today. Realize that, you know what, you're not here on this earth just to struggle through and try on your own power to do better and to get better. But no, once you believed and he applied his blood to your life, he began from the inside weaving and molding and conforming and shaping and causing you to become something completely different. You are like a broken vessel in the hands of the potter. But if you look closely at that old scripture, the Bible says that, you know what? The potter didn't take all those broken pieces and mend them back together and try to make something better. He took them all and he made a brand new vessel out of it. You're being made into a brand new vessel, something brand new today. That should give you strength because you're not just getting up tomorrow morning and going on and struggling through your life and trying to do better and trying to please everybody and trying to struggle and be as religious as possible and make as many good decisions as you possibly can. No, you're planted and you're rooted. You're growing in the presence of God and he's changing and conforming you to fit him. Pray. Can y'all receive that this morning? Let somebody get a breakthrough from that today. It's the answer to whether or not you're truly growing. Can you look at how you talk to people? Can you look at how you interact with folks? And can you look at how you think about things? And are you beginning to see the nature and the tendencies of Jesus in all of those little finite details of your life? Can people look at you and say, you know what? That reminds me of Jesus. You don't have to struggle through. Understand it this way. It's not an achievement. It's not like you achieve Christ-likeness. No, you just trust him and love him, and he's already doing it for you. You just be planted and rooted in the Lord and watch what he'll do in your life. Praise God. Can y'all receive it today? Are you being transformed? Here's what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. It's an amazing scripture. And we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory. Look close. Don't read right through that. All of us, if you're a believer, your face should reflect the Lord's glory. Look what happens. All of us are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amazing. Are you being transformed this morning? Oh, it's a question we all need to ask. Because as you are planted and growing and becoming more like Christ, there'll be countless ways that you notice little changes and superior ways that you interact with people for his outcomes in your life. But the next couple of minutes, I just want to remind us of some practical things, some action steps. Give us just three little things that you can look for right now and begin to align your life with Jesus and really begin to assess if you're growing. And these are very, very practical. Just three little action steps to challenge us this morning. Are you looking more like Jesus? Here they are, action step number one, and this is number five on your sheet. Things you can do to look more like him. Real growth happens through fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Pastor Brandon, what do you mean by that? I'll tell you this. Fellowship with God is like being his friend and being with him and enjoying your time with the Lord. Here's what the scripture says. You're called into this kind of relationship over here in 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you need to know whether or not you're growing in God and you're experiencing fellowship with the Lord, trust me on this. If church time is the only time you think about him, you're not having fellowship with God. If Sunday morning is the only time you consider, contemplate, spend time with him, then you may not be growing in God. Fellowship with God, what does that really look like? It just looks like this. Are you prioritizing God and his activity in your life every day? Are you engaging in meaningful worship in your life? That's having fellowship with God. You know, worship, our opportunities for worship should be meaningful and personal. Oh, it should be an engagement between you and the Lord. It should never be a situation, where, even at church, where you come to church and the worship team who's worked hard and prayed and devoted their gifts and talents back to the Lord to lead us in worship. They're not here to entertain us. I said the worship team's not here to entertain us. It's time some of us understand this. And if you're going to grow in the Lord and have fellowship with God, you're going to have to engage God in worship. And that means to let, it's very, very simple. It just means to let God know how you feel about him in praise and worship. We can ask ourselves this question. Do you still enjoy being in the presence of God? And also, so importantly, if you're going to have fellowship with God, are you committed to know God through his word, the Bible? Maybe these action steps will challenge us this morning to determine our level of growth and how we're being changed into him. Next action step, number 6, real growth happens through relationships within the body of Christ. For those of you writing that down, take just a moment. Relationships within the body of Christ. 1 John 1 and 6 and 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It's talking about interaction between Jesus and his followers within his body. It says, you know what? If you're walking in the light, essentially, if you're walking with God and really growing in him and having fellowship with God, you're going to walk in light and not walk in darkness. And if you're walking in the light, you don't mind having relationships with one another in his body. In fact, you'll want to be part of his body because scripture's telling you that part of the change and the transformation means that you're learning to be concerned with the interest of and the well-being of others, not only your own interest. This is what the word says. We want some parameters and some assessments. Here's a great one. The old self that we're supposed to take off was centered on self and focused only on what we want. But the Bible says that in the new life and in the new self, when you put on Jesus, you begin to be concerned with everybody else more than concerned with you and what you want. Y'all ain't saying a good one right there. Come on. It's a hard thing. I told you, man, the flesh and our sin does not want to become like Jesus. We have to be transformed from the inside out. Are you discovering and developing your gifts for impact within the body of Christ? Another sign that you're in the light and having relationships within his body. That means you understand that you have a purpose in his body. Do y'all understand that this morning? This kingdom is not for casual comers and spectators. It is for people who are born again to understand that God has gifted you and he has put within you very unique, special ministry and spiritual giftings, opportunities and things for you to develop and ways for you to serve and get involved in the ministry and to do things for God that uplift and edify and make a difference. Man, that's for every believer. Everybody in the body of Christ has a place to serve. And we all need one another. This is part of growing in God. Realizing that being part of the body means you can't just come and be a spectator. Yeah, there's an expectation on your life. If you're going to grow in God, you need to find out what he wants you to do, how he wants you to contribute, and begin being great in that area. Can y'all receive that this morning? Oh, it's so true. And it's something that seldom gets preached in a lot of churches and probably in a lot of our backgrounds because people just like to come to church, and I get that. But you know what? If you're really serious about growing in God, this will be a big, big priority in your life, learning to serve. Some people in here are gifted in the area of leadership, gifted in spiritual gifts, gifted in all these great detailed ways in which God can use you. And then next, on this action step, a great one, are you learning to make the investment of genuine friendship in the body? That just means, are you availing yourself? This is what Jesus did. Jesus was the greatest friend who ever lived. If you're being transformed into the image of Jesus, I can tell you this right now, you'll want to be a good friend and avail yourself to the people who might need you. Amen. Next, we see this. Real growth happens through loving God and loving your neighbor. It's a big test. Here's what the Lord said about this. He was asked at one point what the greatest commandment of all was in Matthew 22, and here's what he said. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God, loving people, loving your neighbor. Did you know that loving people is really how we demonstrate the Christ life to everybody around us? In fact, we really can't demonstrate the Christ life to people in our life if we're not willing to love them and treat them even better than they deserve. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Jesus said this in John 13. He explained that the world around us would know that we are his disciples because of how we love and how we love each other. Thank God. Action steps, little things that you can do to find out, is your life beginning to be in line? Are you being conformed to the life of Jesus? Is it becoming easier in your life to demonstrate his nature than your own old nature? Are you putting off the old man and put on the new man? Praise God. You are becoming more like Christ. Let me say it one more time. I'm going to speak it over you. You know, so many people's life would be so much better and so much more productive if they just had somebody to speak the word over them. And I'm just going to do this all month long till you get tired of hearing it. You are becoming more like Christ. You are becoming more like Christ. I've got to say it because this world has got an opposite message. This world's got a message that you're weak and vulnerable and you can't do this and you can't do that. But I'm going to tell you, you come to the house of God, it ought to be a place where you hear the truth of Scripture and the truth of the Lord over your life. And when you come in here, I'm just going to say it till you're tired of hearing it. I don't care what the world says. You are growing in the Lord. You are planted and rooted in the good things of the gospel. You are changing and being transformed. You're growing. You are becoming more like Christ. Come on, if you receive it. Finally this morning, and I'm excited about this whole series this month, just laying a foundation today, but I want to show you a picture today that's going to look kind of crazy on this wall, but I want you to see this for just a moment, and I'm going to show you something that's going to help us. Look at this crazy picture here. Don't go cross-eyed looking at that thing. It's just, it looks like a big mosaic, but this is a screenshot of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican in Rome, okay? Now, it's covered with dozens of the most magnificent paintings by Renaissance artists like Botticelli and Michelangelo. One of the most amazing pieces of art in all of the world. And so the scenes depicted in this in all these paintings, they portray famous biblical events and people from biblical history. And you've seen a lot of these up close. For example, the one right here in the middle is the one of Adam in the creation of man. Michelangelo painted that one over the course of 4 years. It took him to paint that little fresco. Back in the 80s, the curators of the Sistine Chapel noticed that the ceiling was beginning to look old and dingy and shabby. So they began a project to try to restore each one of those paintings back to its original brilliance. It was the first time since the 16th century that anyone had climbed up there to clean the paintings. And so when they got up there, they realized that centuries of dirt and grime had piled up on the face of all the frescoes, and the paintings were looking very, very bad, and they wanted to restore them. And the project was wildly unsuccessful. They couldn't clean them. They couldn't restore them. They discovered that no matter what they do, they could not stop the paintings from degenerating. So they had to install an ongoing system to try to protect that ceiling so it just lasts as long as it could. And here's some of the things that they did. Watch this closely. It's going to help me make a point this morning. They installed a special lighting, a UV lighting, an LED lighting that doesn't emit UV rays, so the artwork won't fade as quickly. All in the room. They installed a special air conditioning system that keeps the temperature at exactly 71.6 degrees at all times. No matter how many people come and go or how many people are in the room, it keeps it at 71.6 degrees scientifically. And it has a scientific filter system in that air conditioner that diffuses and tries to clean all the impurities out of the air at all times, perpetually running. Every night a specially trained staff comes in to clean and to dust every square inch of that chapel. And they use special vacuum cleaners and special chemicals with fancy exhaust systems on it. Very impressive. They even installed a special machine that keeps the humidity in the room at 60% at all times. And they put in a special machine that keeps the carbon dioxide level below 800 parts per million at all times in that room. Their system in that room ensures that all of the air in that room is completely changed a minimum of 60 times a day. In other words, they've really been over backwards to try to restore those paintings. When the researchers asked those curators, they said, "Why do you go through all of this trouble each and every day?" Here's what they said. They said, "Well, we thought that the paintings could be restored. But we discovered that the best we could do was preserve the ceiling's beauty for as long as we could. No matter what we do, we've discovered," watch this, "no matter what we do, we've discovered that only the creator of the artwork could restore its original magnificence and vitality." Did y'all hear me on that one? No matter what we do, only the creator. If Michelangelo showed up, he could redo the artwork. Other than that, the best we can do is try our best to keep it clean to make it last as long as it could. It sounds a lot like people's lives sometimes. Now, what an amazing truth, and it's true for our lives as well. Because hear me out, church. I want you to get over this thing this morning that you're growing because you're doing better or doing more. Just like this ceiling and just like all these paintings, no matter how hard we try to restore our lives to a condition that's suitable for the presence of God, we can never humanly achieve such a restoration. It's not going to happen on our own. It takes God, the great artist. He's the one who has to restore our life and conform us to reconcile us back in His image. Only He can do it. And church, hear me out. When you plant your roots, when you plant it and growing firmly in the power of God, in the presence of God, and when you're firmly rooted in the plan of God for your life, you will become fruitful. Bible says your leaves will never wither and all you do will prosper. Praise God. Come on, y'all receive it this morning. Say a good amen. You are becoming more like Christ. Every single day. I want to pray for us this morning and believe God. There may be those of us here today who've been struggling along trying to restore yourself. There may be somebody here today who's just been going hard for so long, trying to do better. And what you've run into is the up and down factor, that thing where, well, I do better and I have a good attitude one day and the next day I'm struggling again and I don't know where I am with God. Today you can become planted in the one who can start you in your transformation and change you from the inside out by putting your faith in Jesus. Today can be a brand new day for you. Today's the day to start brand new with Jesus. Right now, in this moment. Yeah, I'm challenging all of us to grow in God all month long. But if you're not walking closely with God and allowing Him to restore you, save you, you could waste so many years trying to do it on your own. I had a talk with a girl this week who gave up on God. People have been contacting me the past couple of weeks. Pray for this person, my loved one, and pray for my son or my daughter. Man, they're really struggling. They need God to do something. If I can convince you this morning, I understand, man, most people in here, you're walking with the Lord, and I understand and thank God. But I'm talking right now in this moment to somebody in here who needs to be changed by God. It's time for your struggles to end. And it's time for you to finally stop turning that wheel and spinning that thing out of control. And I'm begging you today, please, let God do the work that only He can do. You're never going to restore it on your own. Only He can do it. Only He can do it. Let's all stand.